the judgment of God, the wrath of God, the judicial, equitable wrath of God is a dreadful commodity.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Our subject is man's great dilemma, Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 to 3. As I look at what Paul says in Ephesians 2, 1 to 3, it seems to me that there are three appalling truths which are presented with respect to unredeemed men. And those same appalling truths were characteristic of us before we came to Christ. Paul says, this is what we were, and this is what they are. And as you visualize that, as you begin to see it, as you get the picture, it ought to be a compelling inducement to do whatever is necessary to deliver them from it. So Paul says, here are the three appalling truths. Number one, he says, we were dead. Ephesians 2, 1. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Number two, he says, we were not only dead, we were enslaved. We were under the influence, the dreadful bondage of three powerful ingredients which directed and controlled our lives and from which we could not extricate ourselves. We could not deliver ourselves. He says it's the world, it's the devil, and it's the flesh. Very clearly, verse 2 and the first part of verse 3. And then finally, he says, we were condemned. We were dead, we were enslaved, and we were condemned. We were, by nature, children of wrath. And those three ingredients should help us to visualize the awesome circumstances of unredeemed humanity, and it ought to be a compelling inducement to make us thankful for our deliverance and burdened for theirs. Now, Paul says, first of all, in verse 1, if you see it there, if you have your Bibles open, in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1, Paul says, we were dead. What was the cause of our spiritual death? Paul says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And those two words give a fairly comprehensive account of human evil. That word trespasses means a false step involving either the crossing of a known boundary or a deviation from the right path. It is a going astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. First trespasses and then sins. That's that word hamartia. It's the most common word in the New Testament for sin. It literally means a miss. And Paul means that sin is the failure to hit the target of life. Sin is the failure to hit the target of life, the failure to be what we ought to be or what we could have been. It touches every one of our lives. It is failure in any sphere of life to be what we ought to be, what we could have been. It is rebellion against the right which we know, the truth we have seen. That is the cause of man's problems, trespasses and sins. Now let's look at the concept for a moment. What is spiritual death? We were dead. We must learn to look beyond the superficial charm and gaiety of human life and see what is in the heart. In that sphere which matters supremely, they have no life. They are dead. That's what you were. Then he says, it goes even further. Not only were we dead, he says, but we were enslaved. Do you notice in verse 2 and also verse 3, because men without Christ are spiritually dead, Paul says, they know nothing of true freedom. Three powerful influences control and direct non-Christian men and women. That's what Paul says in verse 2 and verse 3. Do you notice those three? Number one, he says, it's the world. He says, you walked according to the course of this world. The world is a system of thought and practice which is hostile to God and His truth and is fed and energized by Satan. We were forced into that mold. We were controlled and directed by that system. Unregenerate men are enslaved to this world system, not only to the world, but also to the devil. You notice he says we walked according not only to the course of this world, but we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. When Paul uses that word air, he's not talking about the oxygen, nitrogen, atmospheric elements that we breathe in and out. The Greek word means foggy atmosphere. It can be translated that way. Foggy atmosphere. It's indicative of the darkness which Satan prefers to the light, and it probably has a reference to the ethical and moral environment. which encircles the globe, and in the midst of which Satan prevails authoritatively. Satan prevails authoritatively in the ethical and moral environment in which we live out our lives, and because that is true, we're forced not only into the world's mold, but we're forced into Satan's mold. We were not only dead, we were enslaved. And to what were we enslaved? To the world, and then to the devil, and then finally he says to the flesh. We were enslaved to the flesh. So Paul says that we were enslaved by the lusts of our flesh. You notice that phrase in the first part of verse 3? Our whole way of life, our whole manner of life, conversation there doesn't mean speech. It means our whole way of life, our whole manner of life was lived out under the influence of the lusts of the flesh, the passions of the flesh. The flesh is anything which gives sin its chance in our being. It is human nature in rebellion against God. That's the flesh. You were enslaved to the world, to the devil, and to the flesh. And Jesus Christ released you. He liberated you. He set you free. Finally, Paul says, not only were we dead, not only were we enslaved, but then he says, also, we were condemned. Do you notice the last part of verse 3? He said, we were children of wrath. We were by nature children of wrath, even as others. That's kind of a difficult expression to translate. It's a Hebraism. We were by nature deserving of wrath. It means we're under the dreadful, awful, awesome, devastating condemnation of God. That's where we were until Christ came into our lives. What is God's wrath? God's wrath is his personal, righteous, constant hostility to evil. And there are four things at least that need to be said about God's wrath. One, God's wrath is judicial. It's never emotional. It's judicial. God's wrath is not emotional rage, as though God flies off the handle, as though God were filled with a spirit of spite. It is judicial. Secondly, it's equitable. God's wrath is right. It's the necessary response of his holy love to the infraction of his holy law. It's equitable. It's right. The third thing I want to say about God's wrath is it's dreadful. It is judicial, not emotional. It is equitable. It's right. It's appropriate. It's consistent. And the third thing about God's wrath is that it's dreadful. My friends, it is impossible to compute. It is impossible to compute with human devices the awfulness, the devastation of hell. It is described in the Bible in very graphic terms. It is described in the Bible as outer darkness, which means absolute exclusion from the presence of God and everything else. Outer darkness. A darkness with a devastating intensity to it, absolute exclusion from the presence of God. God is light, and we're in outer darkness. That's hell. Absolute exclusion from the presence of God and from everything else. It's described in the Bible not only as outer darkness, but as undying worm. That's a reference to the anguish of eternal remembrances and the gnawings of remorse in hell. And it's referred to as unquenchable fire, the blistering judgment of God, physiologically and psychologically induced. I tell you, the judgment of God, the wrath of God, the judicial, equitable wrath of God is a dreadful commodity. No man. I hear people talk about hell. They kind of chuckle about it. I hear Christians say, I hope that fellow goes to hell. I hope that person goes to hell. That person deserves nothing better than hell. That may be so, but it's not for me to say. It's not for me to say. No man can fully comprehend the implications of hell without something like a mist gathering in his eye. And when he finally gets the picture, he ought to be burdened to deliver as many people as possible from the dreadful consequences of our sins, the awfulness, the dreadfulness of hell. The last thing I want to say about God's wrath is it's eternal. It's an eternal place. We're children of wrath. We're trying to define that wrath. A sin against an infinite God. Why is it eternal? A sin against an infinite creator by an everlasting creature carries with it an eternal or infinite consequence. Did you follow that equation? I believe that's a biblical equation. A sin against an eternal creator by an everlasting creature carries with it an eternal or everlasting or infinite consequence or dimension. It means that it goes on without termination. It never ends. It goes on without intermission. There are no interruptions, no recesses, no timeouts. It goes on without alleviation. There is no softening of its intensity once it is inflicted. the wrath of God. It's an awesome thing. It's a sobering thing. It's a devastating thing. It ought to be a compelling inducement, a motivating thing to be involved in the evangelistic process. Paul says, we were by nature children of wrath. He means by that we have a birth defect. We have a spiritual birth defect. We have a congenital spiritual disease which can only be rectified by regeneration. Paul means to say by that phrase, by nature, that we were born this way. And there's only one way to escape the clutches of this coming judgment. We were born this way, and so we need to be reborn. We need a new birth, and we can be delivered. So Paul helps us. Paul helps us to see the gravity of the human dilemma. I want you to see it. I want to remind you of it. He helps us to see the gravity of the human dilemma. He reminds us of what we once were, and he tells us what they still are outside of Christ. Paul says that a man outside of Jesus Christ is dead because of his trespasses and sins. He is enslaved by the world, the devil, and the flesh. He is condemned. He's under the dreadful, awful judgment and wrath of God. Paul says it's a radical disease, and it requires a radical remedy. And that radical remedy is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's a man who's dead. The gospel says, I'll make you alive. Here's a man who's enslaved. The gospel says, I'll set you free. Here's a man who's under condemnation. The Bible says, I'll forgive your sins. And it's all wrapped up in one personality, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When you come to the Son of God, once you were dead, now you're alive. Once you were held in bondage, now you're set free. Once you were under the awful, dreadful condemnation of God, now you're forgiven and cleansed, the recipient of His grace and His love. I ask you, you're listening to my voice over the radio, have you ever experienced these precious commodities? You were dead. You are dead. Without Christ, you can be made alive. You're in bondage. You're enslaved to the world, the flesh, and the devil. You can be set free. You're under the dreadful condemnation and judgment of God. You can be forgiven and cleansed. Have you ever experienced those precious commodities? Life, release, and forgiveness? They're yours through the Son of God. Do you know the world does not need more education, doesn't need more legislation? When it comes to the resolution of man's basic dilemma, you know what it needs? It needs biblical evangelists. Biblical evangelists. People who've been entrusted with the message of life, the message of release, and the message of forgiveness, actively sharing, those people who've been entrusted with that message, actively sharing it with those in their world of influence. I wonder how many of us, this is my burden, my concern. I just thank God for the many who are already involved in these things. I just want to refresh your mind and your memory and motivate you a little bit perhaps. I wonder how many of us will capitalize on the special opportunity we have to share with others this powerful message of life, release, and forgiveness.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg at hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
This God can take the raw material of what we are, dead and condemned, and he can transform us, and he can make us new creatures.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.